Flying Cool Tech 58, July 27, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. We are on our way to work. Some of you have mentioned you like, good boy Jake, mentioned that you like these walks to work. I certainly enjoy them, and it's nice having you along. I'm recording this morning on the Olympus DS2 with the external microphone. Low branches, huh, Jake? Good boy. There we go. And like I mentioned, the one thing I really, really like about this Olympus DS2 is that, I mean, it's so simple to use. You hit the record button, it beeps. You know you're recording. Good boy. Somebody left their trash can out last night, didn't they? We have these big 90-gallon bins here that the city supplies with wheels on them. In fact, we were laughing at work, one of the guys that works with me. Good boy, fella. Atta boy. He was saying he found out he's been putting his trash can out backwards. Apparently it's got a big sign on that says, this side towards the street. And we were laughing. People wondering, what is this guy, a rebel, or is he just stupid or what? But I never knew it said that either. I just was just lucky I was putting it out that way. Just happened to, I guess we had a 50-50 chance. Well, it's a muggy morning in Louisville, but it's supposed to cool off today. We were supposed to get some thunderstorms last night, but didn't get a drop of rain. Speaking of this DS2 Olympus digital player in the iRiver, got a couple of emails mentioning that I did not provide prices and availability. Actually, I did mention that they were available. I bought these, I'm using at Best Buy. But I've seen them online for better prices. Excuse me. Taking a left on Frankfurt here, huh, little buddy? I guess we're gonna slow down the pace a little bit. Yesterday it was really, really muggy. So, Best Buy has this iRiver IFP 899 for $180, but I've seen it online for quite a bit lower than that. And then the Olympus DS2 was, I believe it was listing for $150, and I got it for $125 because somebody had brought it back. But I've seen better prices. How about, good boy, I've seen better prices on the internet too. So I got an email from Shane Jackson the other day. who had heard the podcast, and he was actually doing podcasts using the Olympus DS2. So check that out. And I want to say it's shanejackson.net, but I'll put a link for it in show notes. Which reminds me, oh yeah, maybe I did mention this. I actually tried to put the link for the iRiver firmware update in the show notes, but I believe it was an AND character that was in there that was making my XML feed invalid. And I thought I could get around it by just surrounding it with the pre-tag, and now that I'm talking about it, I think I know what to do with it. So I'll try that today. But anyway, I will put Shane Jackson's podcast feed up on the show notes today. I have been looking around for the longest time for a couple of podcasts, and you know, these are good ideas. Somebody should do them. One of them, I would love to get, you know, maybe some major news network like CNN. Well, actually, CNN's got one. It's not what I'm looking for, though. I mean, I just subscribed to theirs this morning. They update it every hour. And I only got one. I would hope that they'd use the same file name so that, you know, if you didn't come back tomorrow, you'd have 24 of them. But that would be the way to do it, is just to always name it something, you know, like CNN Hourly Update or whatever. That way, you know, you could get the latest version of the news anytime you wanted without having to go searching for it and downloading and all the normal jazz. Little plane going over. But I was a little disappointed in the CNN one this morning because it was too short. Not enough details. It was only a couple of minutes. I was searching, actually I subscribed to one that ABC News does too, but come to think of it, I don't think I've ever gotten a download from it. I actually first saw it in iTunes. But this morning I was searching for, in Google, I think it was for maybe daily news and podcast. And it was pretty cool. I found a couple of TV stations, one in Chicago and one in Philadelphia, that are starting to do this. The Chicago one had, I think, their first 6 minutes of their newscast or something like that. I wish somebody in Louisville would take up that idea and try it out. But I would also love to get a national news one. You know, that'd be something I think people would pay for. If you could get, you know, the last half hour of CNN headline news, maybe. Or actually, even some of the other shows on the CNN channel. I think I would certainly pay for it, and it, you know, it would even be cool to have commercials in it. Of course, I don't know how many people would listen to them. I actually don't mind listening to a commercial. What I object to, though, is hearing the same commercial over and over and over again. Now that's one thing I dislike about listening to the Louisville and the Kentucky basketball games. And by the time you get to the end of the game, you've heard the same commercial so many times, it's just sickening. And you know, it might have been a good commercial, it's just overkill. Just passed by the Frankfort Avenue Fitness Center. You can always smell it because it smells like Pine Sol in there. Pine Sol and sweat. No, you don't smell the sweat. But another podcast that I would love to see personally is, you know, why doesn't the White House do the weekly radio addresses in a podcast format? And maybe they do, and I just hadn't found it yet, but seems like I would have run across that in my wanderings through the net. But nope. I mean, I would like to I would like to listen to that. I think APH is actually going to be doing a little more, or start some official type of podcasting. We've been kind of talking about recording the annual meeting that we have every year, which is it's kind of a long story. It's where the goodness, you really, guys. You'll make a ruckus. Jake's a good boy, though. He just looks and says, how undignified. My little buddy. We stir up the dogs, don't we? Stir up the neighborhood. There's one across the street even barking. I guess he's barking at those other dogs. Now you're misbehaving. After I got through bragging on you. You're a good dog. So this annual meeting is a meeting we have every year, oddly enough. Good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
Yeah, like that breeze. A little bit of relief, huh? They sure were. I hope that wind's not too much on the microphone. No, so this annual meeting we have, according to the legislation that makes APHB, we have ex officio trustees that administer the federal act to promote the education of the blind. And one of the requirements in that legislation is to meet at least once a year with the trustees. So this is a pretty big deal, and we always kind of give the state of APH. There's a lot of different areas in APH, obviously, as you've seen from some of the audio tours that we've presented. In fact, we haven't really even done anything with field services yet. Well, I guess when we had Michael McCarty on there, he's loosely categorized in that section. But anyway, we've sort of been tossing around the idea of recording that and making it available for anyone who wants to listen to it as a podcast. And I think that's a pretty cool idea. I mean, there's some interesting stuff goes on there. If you're at all interested in APH. I know I am, for obvious reasons. So, on to some, you know, I always said, I hate these shows that talk about nothing but podcasting, and I try to avoid doing that, but, you know, I mean, the whole thing is you get these shows about podcasting, and they devote their whole show to this and that about podcasting, and it's like, well, if podcasting wasn't here, there wouldn't even be a reason for this show. But sometimes I think you do need to talk about it, and that's kind of what we're doing this morning, I guess. I wanted to tell you about some other pretty cool podcasts that I found. Edward Alonzo emailed and was interested in the address for the Audio Collective podcast. That's one I kind of enjoy. And it's at feeds.feedburner.com/audio collective. But some of the other ones that I've recently subscribed to and find fascinating, really cool, especially one called Historic Audio and Speeches. And this guy, I think he's probably the guy that hosts the show, that is. He seems to be an amateur historian, although he gives a lot of good background. We're waiting to cross Ewing here. I guess we could press the light button, but we'll just go with traffic. All right, good boy. That's a good doggy. Jake's a good boy. Jake, by the way, in case this is your first time tuning into this podcast, is my trusty guide dog. He's from the Seeing Eye. He's about 3.5 years old. In fact, he was born on Christmas Day. What a Christmas present, huh, little buddy? He's a half lab and half golden, but he looks like a yellow lab. And he is wild when he's not working. But I like a high energy dog. Anyway, this historical audio and speeches, this guy, so far, I think the first one he had on there was Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. And then the second one I thought was really interesting. It was audio from Mission Control and the Mercury. Is it the Mercury space capsule? First one to orbit the Earth in 62, I believe it was. John Glenn aboard. So he presented several clips from communication between command and the orbiter there, and gave a lot of background on, you know, what was going on, the circumstances. He was mentioning that, I hope this wind noise isn't too much. This breeze sure feels good, though. He was mentioning they were having a problem, so they were trying to change the procedure for Glenn a little bit without alerting him to the problem. And it was really neat to have the background there. And then the third one he did was the Nixon Checkers speech. And of course, he gave some background on it. Very, very good stuff. Look forward to the next one of those. And the XML feed for that one is not one I have on the top of my head. So I'll include that in the show notes too. So that's two of them I need to put in there. Remember that, Larry. Now another pretty good one that I subscribe to, but I need to check on this one too. I hadn't actually heard any of them yet. This is an old time radio one, so I need to check on that. Another good one is the Pod Dictionary podcast, and this is the guy just gets on there and with a word for each podcast and gives the background of the word and history and usage and so forth. Pretty interesting. And let's see. What was the other one I was going to tell you about? Well, there's a... Make Magazine. And if you're a techie kind of person, that's a good one. When this Make Magazine first came out, I thought, oh, I would love to be able to have an accessible version of that. But this podcast from Make Magazine it's not, you know, quite as detailed as the real magazine, but there's some good stuff there. There's also there's a Newsweek podcast, actually. Obviously, it's not the whole magazine either. But it's some pretty interesting little tidbits. And part of the reason I bring these up is that when I was first beginning to get into this, you know, checking out podcasts, one of the things that struck me was that it was hard to find the good material in all the numerous podcasts. In fact, I've had a couple of my friends say, but good boy. Well, no, they didn't say, up. I said, you know, it looks like it's all junk out there. And I can easily see how you can get that impression. Let me put it that way. There's a few of them that are pretty iffy. But there's some funny ones too. And I guess one of them I would recommend if you want to learn more about other podcasts, good boy, is podcast411.com, which you can go to that website. And this is a podcast where Rob from Kansas City interviews other people who are doing podcasts, and it's a great way to get a taste of some of the other things on there. I know yesterday he did one. It was a guy that's a trucker, and he does different things. He made a comment that reminded me somewhat of what some of you have said. You know, I never know what to expect next, and hey, that's the way we like to keep it. But this guy does sound seeing tours of truck stops and different places he goes in his travels, and sometimes from the, good boy, from the, just from the seat of his truck. So I hadn't checked that one out yet, but it sounded pretty interesting. And a lot of times in the beginning, Rob will have, he'll have tips for other podcasters. Of course, I've already mentioned, let's stop tire shoe here, my buddy. I've already mentioned Jeff Bishop's Desert Sky podcast. And you can go to jeffbishop.com to get information about that one. That's one that's specifically related to technology and how it affects blind users. And he really seems to be pretty much on the cutting edge, doing a lot of beta testing for Microsoft. And in fact, I kind of wish he'd talk a little bit more sometime about his job. He sounds like he's some kind of software engineer for the university system in Arizona there. He's from Tucson. I'm afraid this wind might be a little bit too much. So we're gonna have to get a windscreen. One of the things I was checking out the other day was some different microphones and microphone setups. And one of them was a set of microphones, call them binaural. You actually wear them in your ears like earbuds. And the idea is they pick up what you would actually hear. I think that is a really cool idea. You know, there's some possibilities there with doing some simulations for orientation and mobility. And even one of the things I've wanted to do for some time now, and if not, is some software that would simulate, you know, different environments and let you react to them in specific ways. You're a good doggy, little buddy. You are a good dog. So yeah, with these earbud type microphones, you would essentially, theoretically anyway, be hearing, you know, what the person who's recording is hearing. So I ordered a set of those and we're going to try them out and see what kind of possibilities we can come up with. Now, I've got some audio comments I'm going to play at the end of this show when I get to my office, tacked onto the end of here. But what I would like to do also is to continue on a little bit on the discussion we had yesterday about the flash cars. Good boy. For the Bookport. And basically some frequently asked questions about various aspects of the Bookport. Don Barrett brought this up on the Bookport mailing list yesterday that we that we need an FAQ, frequently asked questions file. And he's right. I mean, we've got one as part of the manual, but some of these questions are not really covered in the manual. So I actually have started adding a few of them to there, but we'll talk about them as well. Now, one of the confusions we had on the Bookport mailing list, which, by the way, is available for you or anyone to join. It's a tad bit of high traffic on there, so take that into account. But if you would like to join, check it out. It's easy to do just by sending a blank email to bookport-request@freelists.org and putting the word subscribe in the subject line. And free lists is freelists.org. So it's bookport-request@freelists.org and put subscribe in the subject line. So with a lot of the APH software, we have a, what I think is a very cool way of doing beta testing on, well, all of our products, actually. And the way it works is that you can go to aph.org/beta and agree to some terms, and then you can download some of the applications that are in development. And pretty much all of them are, because we continuously improve all of the applications. Even though one's already been released, there's both released ones and unreleased ones up there. And one of the things we do is, you know, when you download a beta, the check for updates process in that software knows that you're interested in being notified about betas. So when you go to the help menu and check for update, you will be notified about any new betas that are on there, and you can get details about them, of course. Well, we made a little bit of screw up in the Bookport transfer software beta process. So the official word is, if you're getting notified about betas and you don't want to be, download, well, first uninstall Bookport transfer. And the easiest way to do that is to go to the start menu, programs, Bookport transfer, and there'll be a uninstall item there. It's actually exactly the same as going to the control panel, but the Windows XP control panel is not exactly that easy to get around. Or the add remove programs part of it anyway. You know, it used to be that you could hit the first letter of the application that you wanted to remove and it would go to it. Well, that's no longer the case. You can't even hit page down to go through larger parts of the list. It's kind of brain dead. So it's easier to go to start programs, Bookport transfer, and uninstall Bookport transfer. And once you have the application uninstalled, go to or download and install aph.org/tech/bp bookport line setup.exe. And that will definitely begin notifying you only of real releases and not betas. Now, if you're interested in getting notified about betas and you're not, what you need to do is go back to aph.org/beta and go to the Bookport link and download the software again, and that will fix it. So one of the other questions we've had is, good boy, going in the side door here, punch in our code. He's a good doggy. So how do you find out about what's new? Well, obviously the easiest way, good boy, is to, when you get notified about a beta, that there is an update, you know, we'll say you want to install this update, and there's three buttons, a yes, no, and a details. So if you just click that details button, you'll get all the information. Hey, how are you, buddy? They're going to start some construction down here by our offices. I forgot, we've got a big meeting this morning at 8 o'clock, in fact. We're going to have to take a detour to get to our offices. So all this area on my left is going to be the new attic and test central offices. Good doggy. The other way to find out about what's new is to go back to the group in the programs. So you go to Start Menu, Programs, Bookport Transfer, and there will be a menu item called What's New with Bookport Transfer. And that'll actually cover both the firmware and the software. Another question that Don suggested for the frequently asked questions is what file types Bookport supports. But there is a section in the manual that pretty well outlines that information. So, you know, if you're using your Bookport, just press the E key to get into the help, and then go to the beginning and press the 6 and 9 together, and you'll go section by section through the manual, and you'll see that information. Of course, yesterday we already discussed the 2 gigabyte card limitation, quote limitation. For now, on Bookports anyway. I don't know if I asked you when, I forgot, when we were talking about some podcasts that I like and that I would like to see. If you have ideas about podcasts that you'd like to see, send us an audio comment on our audio comment line. Or actually podcasts that you have found that are really good. And we'll share them with the other listeners. The comment line number is 206-984-9203. Or you can email them to blindcooltech@gmail.com. Back in here and wrap this show up. Put those audio comments at the end. I believe I covered everything I wanted to talk to you about this morning. And thank you, everybody, for the well wishes. I guess you could hear it in my voice. I was feeling pretty sick last week, but thank goodness I'm over that now. nice and cool in this room. We got push button locks on our doors here. I need to talk to you guys about those sometime too. Good morning, fellows. All right, so here's the audio comments.
There's Larry.
What do you say, Perry? I am doing too good to be true, man. What about yourself?
Right. I saw your daughter in the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I said, "Miss Martha, is that?" She said, "That's Larry's daughter." She graduated from, what, Atherton?
Yep. Sure did.
Well, that's all right. Where's she going to college at?
Indiana University Southeast.
Man, she wanted to. She should go to Louisville. Oh.
She thought about it. My other one's going to Louisville.
Is he? But, that's Martin right there.
She's there you go. Yeah, get some basketball tickets, huh?
That's right, yeah. I volunteer anybody there. Jim does.
Oh, do you?
Jim Horton, we volunteer.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
We do free airway football games.
Yeah.
Basketball games.
That's a good idea.
Soccer, hockey, all that. We do free because we work here to see.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, ain't it?
That's a great idea. And before we get to the voicemail, let me go through a few questions on an email I just got this morning from Debbie Gillespie.
Mail from :Debbie, @.001. Hi, Larry: thanks for answering my question on the archiving downloads in your July 22nd podcasts. Left parent G, I think that was the date of it. Right parent tuner cards: I use the all-1-9700. I believe it only has one tuner though, and also has now probably been superseded by the 9800 and beyond. Less print, greater podcasts volume levels: I have noticed a difference in volume of shows since about July 8th or so. They seem fine now, except when someone isn't speaking directly into the mic. Remember, people might have the volume on their sound card set differently as well, so you are working with a variable target perhaps. It would be interesting to know if those having difficulty are using the PC to listen or the bookport. I am using the BP for all listening. Thanks to you, I am enjoying podcasts and using Podcatcher software because of your Getting Started with Podcasts episode. I also enjoyed the iRiver podcast as I am thinking of purchasing one. And now for my small questions. 1. When using Media Center, does the video go through the TV or your computer monitor? I'd like it to use the television. Can this be done?
Okay, good question. I meant to mention that in the Media Center review. There's an S-Video cable that plugs into your tuner card that you can route to your television, and then you just set your television on aux 1 in my case. So when I want to watch TV or a DVD on the Media Center computer and have it show up on the television, I just press aux 1 on the remote on the television. That way you can use a nice big screen TV. And ideally, the prices of these tuner/monitor high definition screens will be coming down low enough to make it practical to have both the monitor and the TV be the same device. Right now in mine, I've got a 19-inch flat screen monitor, but it's not really big enough for sighted people to sit back and, you know, in the middle of the living room and use the computer. In fact, people get jealous of me because I can sit further away with the keyboard in the easy chair and work the computer just fine, but sighted people can't do it because they can't see that far. All right, let's see what the second question was.
2. Could you describe the process once you have recorded the podcasts to get it up for download, editing software, etc.?
Okay, the process for getting the podcasts up is, in many cases, I try not to edit them. I try to give you the reality TV version. Sometimes I'll edit out pieces. I use Studio Recorder to do that, but you can use any kind of editing software. And then I will normalize the volume or even raise the volume level, depending. I have a program I wrote that's an HTA, which is a hypertext application that was basically written in Visual Basic Script.
and I do the show notes in there, generate a, I hit a command to generate a new web page and an XML feed, and I test the links on there to make sure I've named my files correctly. And then I just have a batch file that uploads everything that's new up to the website. And this ties in with question four, which is the FTP software I'm using. I'm using a really neat program called NetDrive, and it lets you assign a drive letter to a remote system. So you don't have to, you can use batch files or regular Windows commands to get things up to the FTP site. So I highly recommend that program. And let's see what the third question is.
3. Do you have your podcasts listed in any of the directories such as iTunes or the Tech Podcast Network?
I have listed in Podcast Pickle and Podcast Alley. And I haven't checked iTunes. Theoretically, it's supposed to just show up in iTunes. I know there's some iTunes-specific metadata that one can add to their feed. And I wouldn't mind it showing up in iTunes. I'm just kind of holding off until we get our server situation corrected about being very aggressive in trying to get it listed in iTunes. I would love to do that once we get those issues worked out, though.
4. Which FTP client do you use?
And I mentioned the FTP client.
4. Which FTP client do you use? Thank you, Larry, and there is no hurry for the answers, as I am certain you are absolutely swamped. Debbie Gillespie, manager.
Okay, well, thank you, Debbie, for the information about the ATI Wonder Card. I have heard good things about those cards, so appreciate you answering some information for other users. And here's our audio comments.
Hi, Larry. This is Herbie from Duluth, Minnesota. I just recently found your podcast, like, last night, and I'm just going through some pieces of them right now. Looks like this show has, like, a lot of useful information on it. And I'm going to download a lot of stuff, but that wasn't the point of my message. In the beginning of your Harry Potter broadcast, after the Walmart scene, you were talking about, like, how if you click on an MP3 thing on your site, then it automatically opens in Windows Media Player and stuff. Well, and you mentioned a second way, whereas if you did the right-click and stuff, that you could save it that way. Well, another thing I wanted to mention, too, I don't know if anybody's mentioned this or not, because, like I said, I haven't gone through all the podcasts. But if you have another media player like Winamp or RealPlayer, but this is definitely true with Winamp, and you have it set to, like, open MP3s automatically and stuff, when you hit enter, and I did try this on my computer just to be sure of this, but when you hit enter, it'll take away the default from Windows Media Player, and you should get the thing where it'll ask you if you want to open this file, save this file, or cancel right away pretty much without opening Windows Media Player, and then you can save it that way too. But if you just have Windows Media Player on your computer, I don't know if there's a way to get that to work. But if you have, like, RealPlayer, or, like I said, definitely Winamp, that'll work. So anyway, just thought I'd mention that. And I will talk to you later, and I'll be listening to a lot of your shows.
Okay, appreciate that, and that's good information. That's true. You could also go into Media Player and unassociate it from the MP3 file type and get that desired behavior. All right, next comment.
Hi, Larry. My name is Richie C. from New York. I'd just like to say I really enjoy your Blind Cool Tech podcast and all the things that you do. I really liked your podcast that you just did today about the report and sending recording for the blind, dyslexic, digital talking books. I myself am a Bookport user, and I really like the device, and I enjoy it. It's a great reading tool. I'm just curious if in the future, I'm not sure this would require a change in the hardware of the Bookport, but for the Bookport's ability to support Windows Media and Ogg Vorbis files. All right, well, Larry, you keep up the great work. Have a good one, and I look forward to more Blind Cool Tech podcasts.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying the Bookport, and you are right, that would require a change in the hardware. We've tossed around some ideas of ways of automatically converting it in the software, but I tell you, we are probably going to do a Bookport hardware redesign probably within the next year, and those are definitely things under consideration. All right, next audio comment.
Larry, this is Joe Quinn out of Minnesota. I'm sure you've heard of me from the St. Paul School District. But anyway, nonetheless, I would like to just say I like your Blind Cool Tech podcast, and I like it when we do tutorials and stuff and reviews and the like. You know, with like the book ports, and I was listening to that today. That's neat. I may have to get me one of those. But you know, it's just neat that you're doing this as a service to us blind people, and maybe even sighted people who would like to listen in and see what we're all about. You know, I said to say thanks for doing that and keep it up. Wonder what your first show was like. You know, thanks for doing this, like I said, and I'll catch you later.
All right. Appreciate the comments. And if you would like to check out the first show, you can go to aph.org/tech/bct.htm, and they're all there. Yeah, I hope sighted people are checking these shows out too. I know my mom and my sister are, but I don't know about too many other people. But I would love for them too. I hope that these shows would be of interest to some sighted people, and I certainly welcome them to participate. And if they have any questions, they can feel free. I'd love to answer any questions on our audio line or email. And if you would like to reach us to leave an audio comment, the number is 206-984-9203. Our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our website is aph.org/tech/bct.htm. I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Y'all have a great one, and we'll see you next time.